always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. It's a pleasure to be back with you all today on this Feast of St. Martin. Having not grown up in Austria and having access to Wikipedia, I now know a little bit more about St. Martin than I did otherwise, because I understand, as I said before, that the children, particularly in Austria and I think parts of France, have a wonderful day of parades and following St. Martin on his horse with their lanterns behind him. Because as legend has it, St. Martin's, and the most famous story about him is that he was met by a beggar on the road, and he was given to cut his cloak and clothe this beggar with his cloak. And then that night he dreamed of Jesus wearing this cloak, and he heard Jesus say to the angels, this is legend has it, here is Martin, the Roman soldier who is not baptized yet has clad me. So it's really a wonderful story, and it's the day that we are commemorating today. He became bishop against his will, as all bishops supposedly do, although I'm not so sure. And he is now the patron saint of France and soldiers, and he is, interestingly enough, the bridge, I read this, again, thanks to Wikipedia, seen as a spiritual bridge between France and Hungary because of his devotion that has sprung up in these two places. So that's St. Martin. So welcome to St. Martin's Day. But whenever the idea of saints comes up, I'm not personally sure how to react. On one hand, we see this unbroken line of Christian devotion. We see the saints from the apostles on throughout saints in our own day, and we take heart. We take heart that people have lived and proclaimed and died in this faith, the same faith that we celebrate here today. And so that, in that respect, these saints' days, I really appreciate them, particularly All Saints that we just had, the idea, or the reality, in fact, of God sustaining a community, a church throughout the nation in many, many different forms, nevertheless faithful to him and his gospel, is a beautiful thing. So we celebrate the saints, and we celebrate St. Martin. That's the ideal way of looking at saints. The sometimes negative way of looking at saints is when they can begin to eclipse the devotion to Jesus. Because they can devolve into the sense that saints are somehow more than human, that they were some sort of super people that had superpowers, that they could make the grain grow, and they could make rain come, and they could heal people, and they could move rocks. And essentially, they were sort of like a Batman-Superman mix, you know, with a halo. And they essentially become little more than baptized versions of sort of the Greek and Roman pantheon, or just folk religion, sort of baptized folk religion. So this is how saints could possibly be misinterpreted. The problem is not when people celebrate or commemorate saints. It's when the devotion to these saints eclipses the object of faith, which is Christ. As Titus explained to us from the reading that we heard so beautiful today, he saved us not because of works done by righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's this message, this counterintuitive message, the one that is only appropriated by faith, as we hear, that is so difficult to believe. That the idea that our service, our obligation, our debt to God has already been taken care of, and now, as the Apostle Paul writes to Titus, that we are justified by his grace. This is a difficult message to believe. And when this message becomes difficult, if not impossible at times, we revert. We revert to our own ways of worshiping God so that we can make extra sure that we've got the big guy behind us as it were. For some, this is seen in particular acts of devotion. For others, it's going to church. And for many, throughout the ages, it has been devotion to a particular saint. It really doesn't matter what the specific manifestation is, whether it's any of these or all of these. The fact remains that left to our own devices, we will restlessly develop our own devotion, our own version of saints in our lives that will help us cope with the uncomfortable truth of the gospel, this uncomfortable truth that God has in fact done it all. And I say uncomfortable because this is exactly what historically it's proven to be, that this message of human passivity, this message that we are not in fact masters of our own destiny, that we are not in fact in control of the world, which we are brought into painful reminders, we're brought face to face with that reality on a daily basis. Now sure, when things are going well, it's very easy to have this passivity. I'm resting in the loving arms of God, or I know God is in control, and it's obvious because look at how well everything's going. This is easy. This passivity is easy in this point. But what about when the bottom falls out, as it were, when you get the phone call, the dreaded phone call, and the person on the end has said the one thing that you have always dreaded hearing? This passivity, this resting in God's arms becomes a little bit more difficult, to say the least, during these times. Nevertheless, the message is that we have been justified, that mercy has been shown to us, and that we are now heirs according to the hope. This is the point, this when the bottom falls out, when our personal acts of devotion creep back in, because we say, things used to be going well. Things used to be on the up and up. What happened? What happened? Maybe I should go to church a little more. Maybe I should fast. Maybe I should go on a pilgrimage. Maybe I should do something to win God's favor so that he will smile on me the way he once did. This is contrary, as hard as it is to believe, to the message of the gospel. Because contrary, again, to what we hear all over the place today, people are not inherently faithful. People believe in things. But according to the Bible, faith is a gift. And Christianity argues or says that faith is a gift because belief in this message, hope and trust in this passivity, in light of life, that this is actually, to believe in this is a gift. That's faith, is to be able to rest in the good and the bad. As Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I have found contentment. This contentment does not come from a letting go of life and just saying, well, that's how things are. It comes from faith. And faith comes from hearing. And what we hear, what we need to hear day in and day out, is that we have been justified, that the sacrifice is over, and that we can rest. Because faith rests. Faith points not to itself, but to the object of its faith. Not to saints, not to devotion, not to church, but to Christ. And as we prepare our hearts for this communion service today, we remember that the object of our faith happened, it lives and was purchased for us 2,000 years ago, that once we were reconciled to God, and that revealed that all of our striving was in vain, and we can rest in this message, not that we seek him, but that he has come to us. In our fear, in our inability to rest, in our restless acts of devotion to whatever and everything, he comes, not with condition, not as a loan, not as a if-then situation, but as a gift, freely given. As the Apostle Paul says, and I'll end, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thanks be to God.